Dave Good is here to ask you, America, do you really think it's better to stand over a freeway than it is to stand next to a smoker? There's this commercial that drives me crazy, and I'll just tell you what the commercial is, and then we'll get to why at the end. It's on, look, I'm calling it a commercial. I believe it's called like an enhanced promotional blah, 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 bull, whatever, because it's on NPR channels. But it's, we all pay the price for smoking. Smokers cost us $8 billion a year, blah, 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 blah. We all pay the price for smoking. Okay, so that commercial drives me nuts, and I'm going to tell you why. And now I have to back up. I'm going to tell you why. You may not think these two things are related, but I believe they are. Okay. Have you ever had a chronic illness? I have, right? I had eczema, okay? I don't know if you know anything about eczema. It's this weird red skin that you get on your elbows and face and really anywhere that's kind of hot or moist. A lot of uncomfortable places like your armpits or... you know, you can imagine. I don't need to go any further. And it was a problem. It's like dry, red, itchy skin. It's incredibly annoying. And I did what any red-blooded American would do, and I went to a dermatologist. And I went to another dermatologist and another and another and another. I mean, at least five or six over a number of years. And none of them could cure this eczema. Even worse, they were giving me what's known as a topical steroid. And I won't get into that. But it's something that kind of, the more you use it, the less it works kind of thing. And so I don't know when the eczema became a problem, sometime in my like early to mid 20s. And then by the time I was into my late 20s, all of the remedies that doctors had given me quit working. And I really feel for anyone who ever gets into this place. God, it was a dark and sad place when you've gone to the doctors and they cannot help. I mean, I can't imagine if it was a major serious disease, you know, but it's just, they can't help. And I did what I think is the only natural thing, which I started pursuing alternatives. And I won't linger too much on the failed attempts, but I found myself, a good friend sent me to this Chinese doctor, right? So it wasn't like some kind of, it was no like alternative medicine that had been like developed. I mean, this is just what a doctor is in China, okay? And I told this doctor about my problem, and it was a very profound experience. There's plenty of details that I could talk about, but I'll just talk about the crux of the eczema situation. And I asked her about the, or I told her about the eczema, and she said, well, what is your sugar intake like? And I mean, I remember when she said that, like never in my life had any doctor ever asked me once what my sugar intake was like, or just how often do you eat a Snickers bar, you know? And I kind of told her, and I started going through my diet, and I realized like I was having a cinnamon roll every morning, and I was having a Coke when I felt like it, you know, kind of normal stuff. And she was like, oh, well, that is, again, I'm paraphrasing, essentially that's what is causing your eczema. It's your high sugar intake. Because in Chinese medicine, your intestines and your skin are part of the same system. So if you overwork your intestines or your liver, then your skin takes over, and that's what the eczema is. It's a manifestation of toxins that your body can't process. And the thing is, oh, and here's the other thing. When I went there, every other naturopath right away, they said, hey, if you want to get anywhere, the first thing you have to do is quit smoking. Like I can't even help you get better until you quit smoking. I have an intense emotional connection to cigarettes. I'm addicted to cigarettes. I couldn't quit smoking. But here's this woman who didn't tell me to quit smoking. What she did was tell me to stop eating so much sugar. And because I was at this place, you know, years of doctors and treatments that were not working and getting to this point of extreme depression of like, am I going to have painful, dry, itchy skin on my face every day? Like my face, the face of Dave Good, the expressive, good-looking face that you love, what the fuck, who would I be? You know, I'm a media-oriented person. I'm a face-to-face talker. So this is how it happened. And again, this led me to not eat any sugar for 45 consecutive days. Right? I did it. It was crazy hard. I mean, after a couple of days, I can't even tell you how bad you want sugar, but I'm saying no sugar, no fruit juice, no fruit, nothing, no kind of sugar whatsoever for 45 days. And I mean, I called my friends who are doctors, who were like people I know that are doctors, and they're like, you're crazy and I don't believe in this. Anyways, but I did it and my eczema went away. You know, it went away. And not only that, people said the craziest shit to me because they all knew that I was not eating sugar. And that was such a strange thing. Like, of all the fasts, people are going on carb fasts and gluten fasts and blah, blah, blah. But that was the only person I knew who just eliminated sugar. I got the strangest kind of compliment or comment consistently. Everybody said, your eyes are so much whiter. Like the white around my eyes. And I mean, and it was amazing. Like after I got over the addiction process of it, I mean, I had more energy. I felt better. I slept better. I mean, everything in my life was incredibly improved from not eating sugar. The only problem was is that when people offered me birthday cake and things like that, I'd have to say, no, thank you. And when you don't accept somebody's birthday cake or brownie or M&Ms or whatever, it's really insulting. I have to say, it's almost like not taking fucking communion at a church in this country. If you, God forbid, would say, oh, no, no sugar for me, thank you. People are like, oh, you don't like having fun. I see how that is. You know, oh, no M&Ms at your front desk, you know. You don't care. And even worse, like I'd be like, have some dried fruit. Oh, fuck you, man. Fuck you. Get that apricot away from me, you know, even though that, of course, has sugar in it. So anyways, and I mean, and what it took to quit sugar, like the amount of labels that you have to read, because sugar is in everything. It's in bread and it's in every cereal. And I mean, it's just, it's very difficult to avoid. So I'm bringing this all up because finally, I mean, we in the West are catching up with my Chinese doctor, and a major study just came out that sugar is incredibly damaging. It's toxic. One thing that was found out recently is sugar does not digest. It does not melt. What it does is it decomposes. Now, I don't even understand what the fuck that means, but I'm just saying it decomposes like a body and it taxes your liver, your body. It's intense. And we don't even know the damage that sugar is causing because we all eat it. The average American eats 22 teaspoons of sugar a day. The average teenager eats 34 teaspoons of sugar a day. Anyways, so I'm not saying that I don't like fun. What I'm saying is that sugar is poison. Just like, wake up. I know that you like it. Like, of course you like it. Who doesn't like it? It's not good for you. And that's the thing. I mean, you can read, it's in the media a huge amount, but that, I mean, now it is since the study came out, that it's not just an empty calorie, okay? It's calories plus poison. That's what it is. All right? It's just the reality. And also, the idea is, and I mean, how I feel about it is like when I eat sugar, what I want is a slice of triple layered chocolate cake. I don't need sugar in my bun at McDonald's, right? Like I'm getting enough drugs as it is. So anyways, a lot of people, myself included, think sugar that should be regulated like alcohol, whatever. So this is what I'm talking about. As you remember that commercial that I mentioned at the beginning, you know, we all pay the price for refined sugar. Refined sugar costs America blah, 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 fill in the blank dollars every day. And the point of this is that vices are costly, right? All of us are humans. We have vices. That's important. But me, you know, my vice, one of my main vices happens to be smoking a cigarette. Why do I have to be called out about my fucking vice every morning on NPR? Because it's just this attitude. Driving has a price that we all pay. You know, thousands of people die from driving. All kinds of pollution happens from driving. We don't need to drive. It's like all of our vices cost money. And that's the thing is, I don't want to make you feel bad about driving or drinking. You shouldn't drink and drive. But, you know, all of your vices, I don't want you to feel bad about your vices. I, in fact, kind of like vices. Vices make me feel better. I like having a drink with a friend and engaging in a vice. And I don't want people to just never eat sugar. I want people to acknowledge that sugar is poison. Yes, it's a form of poison. It hurts you beyond the calories. But anyways, just that, you know, so anyways, that commercial, that tobacco commercial is just, it's essentially, it's not quite a lie, but it's just like a major manipulation. You know, we just, it's just a major manipulation. Like I said, all the things that we do, there's nothing, you know, we all, you know, need to maybe take a step back. Whatever, I'm rambling here. Patrick, he can use this or not, but it's just like, I'm very happy that we're all not stinky anymore. I think all smokers are like, hey, yeah, things were getting a little stinky. You know, and I think we also, as a smoker, is like, I didn't need to smoke in the bar. Like, I don't need to get drunk, have my inhibitions lowered, and then smoke 10 cigarettes that I wouldn't normally smoke. You know, like, I think smokers are cool with that. But when we get to the point of saying, like, which happens all the time, as a smoker, I can say that all the time, you know, somebody in their sport utility vehicle with their brownie driving by you, how can you do that? You know, so yeah, vices are equal. I don't know. I mean, Patrick, what do you think about that?
Well, I think the first thing I would ask you is, are you still sugar free?
Oh, no, I'm not. I mean, it's an addiction. I mean, and it slowly crept back in. It was actually work and birthday cake and those things that kind of brought it back. After the 45 days, I started just eating sugar once a week. But now that these studies came out, I'm actually thinking about doing another 45 days sugar-free.
Are you addicted to birthday cake? Gotta have my birthday cake.
No, but one thing that was weird is that I never liked donuts. And then after 45 days of no sugar, there was no question in my mind I wanted a donut. Like, that was the first thing I got after the sugar fast was...
just a plain cake donut.
Man...
frosting.
Yeah.
Just so even just a plain cake donut has a ton of sugar in it.
I mean, it has sugar in it. I mean, a slice of wheat bread has sugar in it. And not every country does that. Like, I remember that from school. Like, when you go to, like, McDonald's in Europe tastes a bit different because they don't put sugar in the bread.
So it's an additive. It's not some sort of essential part.
It's an additive in processed foods that we, you know, that we add. And just, you know, just go to the grocery store and try to be like, I'm going to have not dessert, just your meal sugar-free. Which, how insane is that, that we can't have, you know, just the meal be sugar-free? But it's in... salad dressing has sugar in it.
It's not something I've ever looked at.
Right. It's this secret thing. Well, and that's really where the same thing is smoking. Because for a long, long time, right, everybody smoked and nobody thought it was a problem. This is exactly the same thing. So, you know, 100 years ago, you were having a cigarette. You'd be like, yeah, I woke up with a cold today, so I thought I'd have a smoke to clear my lungs out a little bit. I mean, people believed that, you know? And that... I mean, that's the other kind of bigger point I'm trying to make, is that's why you don't want to be so prideful and arrogant that you would cough at a smoker, because you, then you're putting yourself on this pedestal as, oh, I'm a healthy, rational person, and you're an unhealthy, irrational person. When obviously any, you know, relatively educated smoker like myself can poke holes in that theory right away. I did look at the amount of deaths caused by smoking versus... car accidents, and smoking is by far a bigger killer.
Really? Than car accidents?
Yeah. Car accidents kill about 40,000 people every year. Alcohol kills about 75,000 people every year. Just alcohol poisoning. The statistic for smoking is 400,000 people a year.
Oh,
right? Which is quite a bit. Now, I know that there's been numerous cases of... God, I'm rambling here, but... since there's so much nonprofit money behind the quit smoking thing, there has been plenty of documented cases of people claiming causality that wasn't there. Like, once you try to prove this caused someone's death, you're getting into a very dicey area.
It's pretty murky.
Right. But so let's just say, I think I could say pretty conservatively that alcohol alcohol, automobiles, and just bad eating, or, you know, addictive eating is probably 60 to 70% of the amount of people. I bet you could get to about 300,000 people are killed by those three vices as compared to smoking.
So what did you eat when you were sugar free?
God, it was hard.
Vegetables?
I did. I mean, I ate, you know, vegetables, sandwiches. Mustard doesn't have sugar in it. Eventually, I had to eat molasses. I would eat molasses sometimes because it was just kind of impossible. Not just plain molasses, but ketchup has tons of sugar in it. Barbecue sauce, tons of sugar. Mayonnaise has sugar. Miracle Whip, I'm sure, is just freaking mayonnaise plus sugar. You know, that's Miracle Whip.
Never thought about it.
Yeah.
I thought it was just made of Miracle Whip. Right. A miraculous substance.
But the reason that corporations put sugar in everything is because it's addictive, right? It's an addiction that we have yet to recognize.
And it tastes good.
And it tastes good. And it makes people feel good in the short term and bad in the long term. And that was another thing, is after I quit the sugar for 45 days, then I like had an ace up my sleeve every day after that, which was if I needed to get supercharged, I would eat a little bit of sugar and then, you know, it would set you off. The other thing, 45 days of no sugar, any major candy bar will taste identical. Let me like repeat that. Like a Reese's peanut butter cup tastes exactly like a Snickers bar if you don't eat sugar for 45 days. What they both taste like is a rancid sugar cube. It's just so much sugar because it's an addiction.
It didn't taste good.
It tasted like taking a scoop out of a bag of sugar is what it tasted like because my addiction had been brought down that much.
So your palate really changes that much.
It's a usual, that's how addiction works, right? Like you eat sugar, then you want more, and then you want more, and then you want more, and then you get to, you know, a McGriddle.
So you were always still smoking during this time?
Yeah. I mean, I never smoke like it's no tomorrow. I always try to smoke as little as I can possibly smoke. But yes, I was smoking.
Have you ever quit smoking for an extended period? He says as he coughs.
That cough was from the Diet Coke I'm drinking. Which, by the way, I think that NutraSweet is probably worse than sugar. Most likely. But, no, I have not. I've cut down, way down on smoking for like chunks of time, but.
Mm-hmm. You've never gone cold turkey?
No.
So there's never been a day where you haven't smoked a cigarette for what, 15 years?
Yeah, no, I did it once like 5 years ago. There was a day where I didn't smoke a cigarette. Mm-hmm.
Just one day.
The night ended with me, like, I had to stare at myself in a mirror and talk to myself, like, directly. And just say, like, you know, you can make it, you can do it.
What's going through your mind at a moment like that? What are you feeling? Is it your lungs?
Oh, no, that when you want to smoke?
Is it your brain?
Yeah, your brain, like, shuts down. Okay, so, like, you are now, when you've gone, you know, you haven't had nicotine for some amount of time, you become depressed, you become angry, you don't like the people around you, you hate your life. And you get to this point where you're like, my life is not worth living without nicotine in my brain.
It's that extreme.
Oh, yeah. It's that extreme. Absolutely. Absolutely. Like, how can you... smokers who quit often talk about losing their best friend. It's a powerful addiction, you know?
I know. I've never thought about that. I've never thought about the social side of things. When people kind of break down mentally, what happens to their social life? You just think of the physical craving, but I suppose
yeah,
the physical craving has...
Oh, it feels terrible. I mean, there was a long period of time where I didn't smoke during the day. Like, I had quit smoking during the day. I mean, you just feel terrible when you know that you're mad at someone because of your addiction and, like, where your brain's at and, you know. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. What are you smoking now, a pack a day?
Oh, not even close. No, I smoke, like... 5 cigarettes a day, 5 to 7, I would say.
Really?
On average, yeah.
That's got to be unusual, that kind of discipline, smoking.
I don't know. I feel like I know quite a few people like that, but I mean, that was the point that I got to, is someone said that, you know, just control it. Like, if you can't quit it, try to control it. But, no, pack a day, God, that would... Well, and that's something else. I'm sure that, like, all those like, the 400,000 Americans a year that are dying now, well, these are people that were smoking in the 50s and 60s, right. You know? Mm-hmm. And I bet that... I know it is scientifically proven that the less you smoke, the better. So it's not like... There's this attitude out there that, like, if you have a cigarette, you will get lung cancer and die, and, you know... Mm-hmm. But... No, the point is, this is what pisses me off is that here's what I'm trying to f-ing say. Like, when I was on those 45 days of sugar, I did not dislike people who ate cake. I wasn't like, I don't like you for eating cake. Right, because that's everybody. But people dislike me or they think I'm stupid. They think I'm a second-class citizen because I smoke. I mean, I was outside of work smoking and my supervisor... My boss's boss saw me smoking, was like, oh, off of the pedestal. That's what she said. Like, you know, this was a mark against my character. And I think that we essentially have made smokers second-class citizens in saying that the ends justify the means. That if people are healthier and people quit smoking because of they feel so excluded and so ostracized and so condescended to, that it's worth it. But that, whatever, that philosophy has a huge hole in it. Like, you know, that you're lying or manipulating or doing anything to anyone is just wrong. And so, right, I just want people to, like my good friends, one of my best friends from growing up is a doctor. And he... agrees with me 100%. I mean, my attitudes towards smoking and the idea about it, you know, my ideas about it have been spoken through with him. But like, he's like, oh, Dave, go outside. Here's a chair. Here's a coaster. Like, enjoy your cigarette, you know? Because how much of a dick do you have to be to want someone to not enjoy their vice? Like, yeah.
He facilitates your smoking.
Absolutely.
He does.
It's absolutely. Mm-hmm. He also said, blow secondhand smoke in my baby's face. It does not matter.
No, he
does. Yes, he does, because it 100% does not matter.
Did he get his qualifications from the back of a rolling
stone? He's a highly qualified physician. He, in all seriousness, no, he... scored incredibly high on the medical boards. He's a radiologist with, if you know anything about medical school, that radiologist is one notch below dermatologist, at least these days, in terms of like the very top become dermatologists. The second to the very top become radiologists.
Dermatology is the most prestigious.
Yeah, yeah. We're getting off subject. Yeah, that's because the hours are so awesome and the money. It's the best money and the best hours. No, really. Dave Good is here to ask you, America, do you really think it's better to stand over a freeway than it is to stand next to a smoker? Have you bought into the propaganda that much that you're like, oh, sure, I'll take my baby through a parking lot full of exhaust pipes, but don't burn this plant next to my son? It's as bad for you as it is to stand next to a freaking fire. Just wake up, like... It's different. And I mean, I've done the research. Do not smoke in a one-bedroom apartment with the windows closed with a baby. That is a bad idea. Like, don't smoke in a closet with a baby. Okay? But smoking in a park next to a baby is exactly the same as sitting around an open fire with a baby. It's the same as grilling near a baby. I mean, like, don't hurt the baby with the fire, but yes. Seriously. Blow smoke in my baby's face, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. The reason that we think it does matter is because of all this propaganda we've created to counteract the previous propaganda we created. We created the propaganda to make everyone smoke, and then we created new propaganda, equally as much bullshit, to get them to quit smoking. It's just become ridiculous. Like, so that's another question. So, like, if you have an Escalade, I believe you cause more damage to this planet than a smoker. I do. And how many people with Escalades... Anyways. I think if, you know, if there's something to put in here, one of my favorite jokes is obviously a Bill Hicks joke, which is, I'd quit smoking if I wasn't so afraid of becoming one of you. So, yeah. Anyways, that's what I got. But I think all this stuff is really kind of interesting. You know, the things that we don't. The movie Thank You for Smoking ends with cell phones, which rather than sugar or driving, cell phones is another perfect metaphor. It's quite likely that the Mad Men show that they make 70 years from now, everyone's going to laugh about everyone's got an iPhone next to their head and they don't know that it's causing them a huge tumor, you know. And that's another, you know. Oh, we're not addicted to our iPads, you know. Anyways. So I hope, God, it's, how long is this, Patrick?
25 minutes.
Okay. Let's stop.
You've been listening to The Dave Good Show.